It's Rich, Ken, and Ted. Watch on YouTube and Twitch. Follow on social at Rich, Ken, Ted.
Well, the Red Sox may have won a series, but I think none of us are fooling ourselves. They got a lot of problems. Jaron Duran's been good. Ken, you're starting to...
Thank you.
Your opinions are starting to get a little weight around here.
It's starting.
I mean, listen, we've only been on the air for a little over a month here. Has it been a little over a month?
Yeah, about a month.
But on with us right now is somebody who did an excellent job. If you read the Boston Globe, he's got an article on there right now that is a very well-sourced, comprehensive article about Craig Breslow. The name of the article is, Are the Red Sox Better Off Now Than When They Hired Craig Breslow as a Chief Baseball Officer? And Tim Healy joins us right now. Tim, thanks for coming on the show with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to.
Tim, real quick, before we get into your article, did you hear this Caleb Durbin news about how he on his own went to a batting coach up in Andover outside of the team?
Yeah, I did. I saw it on Twitter the other day. I talked with Caleb Durbin about it, and then he had a few good hits. So it's not uncommon. the in-season aspect of it is a little unusual. My understanding is he went with a teammate that day to this independent facility, the name of which is escaping me. So apologies to the independent facility. He went with a teammate that day and wanted to hear them out and, hung around for a little while. So, I'm not sure Caleb Durbin is attributing his handful of hits to that facility, but nonetheless.
What does that say, Tim, about the lack of resources within the Red Sox? Shouldn't they have hitting coaches and they good enough to where you don't have to go on your own outside of the organization?
I don't think a lack of resources is the problem for the Red Sox. They have hitting coaches. Honestly, a bunch of hitting coaches on the major league staff. They got rid of some others earlier in the season, of course.
I guess a lack of effective resources is the way I should have phrased it.
Well, so here's more related thoughts from me on this. One, it is routine these days for a major league hitter to have his own hitting coach. Usually that happens in the offseason. Oftentimes, that independent hitting coach is in communication with the guy over the course of the season. So that part of it is not unusual. Two, Caleb Durbin was new to the team this year, got to know some hitting coaches, struggled the first few weeks as he continued to work with those hitting coaches, and then they got fired. And then new guys came in, and he got to know them. So it's been a lot of voices in a very short amount of time for Caleb Durbin. Obviously, not a whole lot has worked, so that he is not necessarily seeking, but at least hearing out these third parties is just part of it, I guess. It's been an eventful and largely unproductive year or couple of months for Caleb Durbin, rather.
Well, Tim, over to your article, which is very interesting. I mean, I thought, to me, the most fascinating is the Theo Epstein intel that you got from multiple major league sources. Can you... disseminate that, I guess, summarize what you're hearing about how Theo feels about Craig Breslow right now.
Sure. Well, what we put in the article is that Theo Epstein is disappointed in the way Craig Breslow has basically built a front office, the hardcore analytical nature of it, as opposed to analytics balanced with more traditional pro scouting, et cetera. Which was interesting to hear from, honestly, a variety of people from around baseball and around the Red Sox. And it lines up with a couple of things. One is Theo Epstein made a rare public speaking appearance last week on a podcast on the Foul Territory Network. And I didn't even see this clip until today after the story came out. But he was talking on that podcast about how to go all in on analytics leads you in the wrong direction. And baseball has swung too wholeheartedly in that direction. And what you need is the human aspect as well. And that sort of some of those intangibles that come along with that. When Theo stepped away from the Cubs after the 2019 season, he said that he felt guilty, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here. I don't think he used the word guilty, but he basically felt guilty for the role he has played this century in baseball in ushering in this database analytical version of baseball, because that is, of course, what he did when he was Red Sox GM. They lost out on Billy Beane. They hired Theo Epstein, and he was a Moneyball-ish figure for sure in the mid to late 2000s, to great success with the Red Sox, of course. And next thing you know, virtually every franchise in baseball is operating with the numbers as number one. And he felt bad about the role he played in what baseball has become, which is aesthetically not pleasing, as he said.
It just seems lazy, doesn't it? It almost seems like you have a... Because you can use analytics as a tool that helps you, but it's the getting to know the players, speaking with them, seeing them play, having scouts there. If you just do simply numbers, doesn't that just seem like a lazy way to manage?
Yeah, I am in favor in journalism. This is true. And in baseball and sports, this is true. It's probably true for you guys as well. I'm in favor of doing the work and putting in the hours and drawing a conclusion and operating in that way. So in journalism, for example, I talked to a bunch of people for this article and learned some things that I didn't previously know and then wrote the article. And if I had just looked at statistical analysis of the Red Sox, for example, then I would not have had the same kind of story. In baseball, yes, the analytics are super important. Nobody really is doubting that, but you need to balance it with, as you said, having people watch these players in person and learning about who they are as people and what makes them tick. And if this guy will fit into this group of players in a, you know, chemistry personality way. So it requires more work, a different kind of work, and a different kind of caring.
Were you surprised, Tim, that basically Breslow, you know, said to you that he kind of maybe underestimated the importance of that dynamic of an interpersonal relationship with the general manager and players? Even though he played for as long as he did, he thought it was kind of, you know, understood, you know, that he didn't have to have that relationship. But now he's learning that he does. Did that come as a surprise to you?
That did come as a surprise to me because, as you noted, Craig Breslow was not only a big leaguer, but he was a big leaguer for a long time, parts of 12 seasons, I believe. So he's a guy who has been traded. He's been cut, DFA'd, claimed on waivers, signed new major league contracts. Like, he, on the transaction log, Craig Breslow did it all. And he won a World Series with the Red Sox in 2013. He had a string of very solid seasons as a left-handed relief pitcher. So I don't know what happened along the way or since then that he would discount or take for granted the value of conversations and relationships. It was also striking because around this time last year, really after the Rafael Devers trade, Craig Breslow was doing the, you know, talking to players on the ground level, building relationships, making himself available sort of thing. And it just seemed like in the last month or so, another round of that. So to answer your question, yes, it did surprise me.
So Tim, after talking to all of these people, does it feel like anything's going to change? I mean, at least it sounds like Breslow was somewhat self-reflective with that comment. And, you know, when you have someone like Theo saying what he said, it almost sounds like he's trying to send a message, but does that mean anything? Like, do you believe that any of this will cause some sort of change in the direction that they're going?
Well, I people can change for sure. It would, you know, to win back Theo, for example, if he indeed has lost Theo, if Theo's disappointed right now, then Craig Breslow at any time can toggle back a little bit toward the human element. He is free to do that. If he will, I don't know.
So, Tim, obviously Theo's an owner. He's a minority owner, but he is an owner. I mean, your piece reads like they're trying to light a fire under Breslow. Should I read it that way? Is that accurate? Are they trying to shake him up a little bit?
I would not read it that way because it's not like Theo Epstein came to me and planted the story. Yes, this information is now out there via my story, but it's not like the Red Sox planted this or the Red Sox are going public so that, you know, maybe Craig Breslow finally changes his tune. That's not what's going on.
You know what?
At least on my end. Maybe that's happening without my knowledge. Who's to say?
So, Tim, and I know this is going to be a weird way to ask this, but how does it feel as far as, like, the chemistry between management, players? I mean, there's been movement, obviously, with a new manager. You know, these people going outside the organization to get batting help. Like, does it seem chaotic or does it seem at all... Or does it seem like they just don't care? Or is everybody upset that they're not winning? What's the vibe like? Because that says a lot about where this team's head is at.
It all comes down to winning and success on the field. And everything we've talked about comes back to that. If Caleb Durbin had been hitting well, he would not have gone into that other hitting facility. If the Red Sox were winning, then there might not even be a bigger, deeper, big picture look at the Craig Breslow era to date. So it's all about that. If the Red Sox were winning, then who knows? Maybe Theo Epstein would like the way Craig Breslow is going about business. So every effort that is being made by all involved parties, including firing the manager and a bunch of coaches, all of that is in an effort to win because the Red Sox are out to win. They aren't just moseying along going through the motions. And that's true at the front office level. It's true of the players. It's true of the new manager and coaching staff. So if they did win a few games or if they went on a hot streak and got back to or over 500, then yeah, the vibes would be a lot better and a lot less desperate. But right now, things like firing the manager, going to another hitting coach, etc., it's just verging on desperation.
Well, Tim Healy, the article is fantastic. As I said, it was very well sourced, and I'm not surprised by a lot of it because I kind of figured that's what was going on. But to hear actually people on record saying it, I would like to think that, as Ken said, it's a fire under their butt. But who the hell knows? Now that it's out there, you know, hopefully someone's tacking it around. You know, the offices over there at Fenway, and maybe we'll have some sort of change. But Tim, great stuff. We appreciate you coming on with us to talk about it.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you very much. Hope the show's going well.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right, we are 45 minutes from A.J. Brown o'clock. We are not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes with some more A.J. Brown news. We'll be right back.